Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Let's try this again, shall we? This is the second version of this video podcast. We did one yesterday. Didn't work so well. I don't know why. They blame Tom's connection. They always do. It's always like, it's Tom's fault.
I think he's like everything else. Yeah, I got it.
Welcome to Talking Real Money, the multiverse. We're the multicast. We're the combo cast. We're the video cast. We're the audio cast. We're the, I'm not going through that thing again, am I? No, I'm not going to do the castaways, the outcast, that. No, I'm not going to go there. I am in Florida. Why? I don't really know. If I could be somewhere else, I probably would be. But I am in Florida where it's bloody hot. It's bloody hot. I don't know why people come here, and I live here. What is wrong with me? And then people come to visit Disney World here in the summer. Really? What are you thinking? Oh, the kids are out of school. That's right. There in the massive, albeit Midland, Museum of Modern Military Model Airplanes, and the old ones too, is, yes, ladies and gentlemen, he is back. He is back from the lake, from the depths of Chelan, Thomas Charles Cock the second.
As they like to say around the office, tan, rested, and ready.
Really? Are you really that ready? I'm going to put my glides well, on. My
I'm about to
on.
Find out, right? Yeah. By the way, before I forget, this is big news, actually. Camera, really. This is what? Because you mentioned this is the combo cast, the one you put up last week, which I think is the best one literally you've ever done, called Paying Too Much, now has more views than any other of the views at YouTube.
And by
other than Retire Meat, but it's the second most in 5 days. So well done, sir.
And I'd like to apologize the viewers. I have to apologize for YouTube.
For YouTube. Okay. Well,
because we put it on YouTube because that's where everybody goes.
Yeah.
I should have just put it on Vimeo because YouTube is now, because we've gotten popular enough, they're now slapping stupid commercials onto our video cast, and we don't have any say about what runs in those. That's sort of the price you pay. You want to be on YouTube? You take our stupid commercials.
I didn't even know that. Can't we put it on Paramount Plus that I pay for, but I never watch or something like that? Make more sense. I don't know.
Is it Paramount? No, I watch Paramount Plus. The one I don't watch, and I have, and I don't know why I keep it, is Peacock. There's just nothing on Peacock.
I think they have soccer. I think they have.
That's why you would watch Peacock.
I think it's there. Okay, yeah. Sorry about that. So.
That makes sense. Yeah. I watch Hulu. I watch. I don't know what this has to do with money. Well, it has to do with spending it.
Yeah. I don't watch. Apple, I don't watch Apple Plus that I'm paying for some ridiculous number.
You don't watch Apple Plus?
I just never get to it. I got to figure that out, dude. I don't know.
Great shows.
I just paid a ridiculous amount to watch the National Football League for the next year. If we're going to talk about overspending.
Okay. Yeah, that is the most expensive of all the TV services you opted into. That's $500 a year.
No, it was 300 and something.
Oh, you didn't get the
no, I don't. Come on.
The mega package.
No. Yeah.
All right. Well, then you're a cheap piker.
Okay, I'll take that
not
one on.
Not America out at all. Exactly. Hey, welcome to Talking Real Money, the podcast and the video cast. We watch the media, and I get notifications of all kinds of financial stories. And last week, I received a notification from Forbes magazine, the once great Forbes magazine.
You remember Teve Torbs? Yeah, it was good then. But
No, Malcolm. Malcolm
and then Teve.
No, Steve.
Teve Torbs. That was the Saturday Night Live takeoff of Steve Forbes when he was running for president.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah.
Teve Torbs.
Anyway. Steve let it become anything for a buck because magazines sort of went. You dinged. Was that me or you?
That's me.
I think
somebody.
It was you.
mad at me about something, but go ahead.
But anyway, they did is they sent me this list, and I'm always checking out these
Which
lists.
Kind of list are we talking about
well,
here?
Well, it's the best advisor list again. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Forbes Top Next Gen Wealth Advisors Best in State, August 3rd, 2022 edition.
And is this next gen for advisors for the next generation or next gen advisors?
Next gen advisors.
Ah, okay. So young people that are giving financial
advisors
advice.
Who were born in 83 or later.
We're talking 1983.
And I look at these things every once in a while, but this one, for some reason, I really looked into in depth because I was curious. Of course, I was curious to see if I came up on the list, but you know, as always, I did not. Probably because I don't manage anybody's money. But
well, and you'd be pre-gen or something.
That's right. I'm too old for this list. Yeah, is Tom.
That's why
Tom
I was asking.
Didn't show up on this list.
1883.
Either.
Yeah, then I'm next gen. But 1983, not so much. So,
but here's what's curious about the list. It's state by state. So I typed in or clicked on the state of Washington, which is the state where we have most of our listeners, thanks to the the presence of the Model Military Aircraft Museum.
Oh yeah, people drop by all the time, listen, and
really
watch
helps
the
audience. People are dying to see the planes, so of course they listen to the podcast. So I put up Washington, and I thought, okay, here, let's see which of the fee only advisors, of which there are many fine ones in the great state of Washington. Many, in fact, the biggest. Fee-only advisor in the country, I think, is
among
Camas.
Them.
Yeah,
Ken Fisher. Yeah.
So I'm thinking about this, and I think Edelman also has an office in Seattle.
They
right?
do. Yeah, and they're huge.
Engines, they're mm-hmm. huge.
No. Yep.
So I'm going through the list, and I start here at the beginning. Tom, okay, ready? The first one works for Merrill Lynch. Okay, all right, maybe that he's really good or something. The next one works for UBS. Wait, that's another brokerage firm.
Uh-huh.
Baird, another brokerage firm. Then Morgan Stanley. Then Ameriprise. Then RBC, which is Royal Bank of Canada and a brokerage firm. Then about five more from Morgan Stanley in a row. Another Merrill, another Ameriprise. Ed Jones,
Edward
Mutual.
Jones, yeah.
LPL, Linsco Private Ledger. Give me a break. They used to be the place of last resort for brokers who couldn't stand being in the industry. All right, we'll go to LPL. Wells Fargo. And you know, they are really fine money managers.
They have terrific reputation, I believe.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, their reputation. And there's a couple of them. And by the way, out of 26, there are 11 firms, all big wirehouses.
And these are firms that are, I believe I'm correct in saying, duly registered. They're registered as registered investment advisors and as broker dealers, correct?
I believe in every single case, you, sir, are correct. Yes.
And again, if it was somebody walked in my door, didn't want to hire us, or was just trying to figure this out, I would never send anyone to a duly registered representative, ever.
No, to whom would we send them, Tom? We would probably send them to a fee-only.
Registered investment advisor. Period.
Fee-only. You see, these, every one of these, while they may at times act as a fiduciary, albeit with pretty much ridiculously high rates across the board, they can also sell commissioned, high expense, less than perfect products to their clients, because when you're not acting as a fiduciary, you are held to what is called the suitability standard. And what does that mean, Tom?
Not much. And by the way, for those who want to know what it means, you just go back and look at your YouTube presentation from last week, Paying Too Much, because you walk through a very typical, and we see them every day, portfolio from a brokerage firm, because they generally involve individual stocks. They generally involve high fee, expensive, some including commission mutual funds, and they generally involve some other weird, like individual bonds or individual alternatives, something where they can say, see, we're really working hard for you. We found, our research department found this, and nobody at Appella, by those guys don't know anything about this. Is really inside.
Yeah.
And you walk through that beautifully because it shows you what that really is in terms of cost. So this is, and by the way, what is the criteria for this list? How do you get on this list? Because
I'm
that's what I want to know.
Ask because I even sent them an email asking them to explain to me why there are no fee-only advisors on their unbiased list. You know, here's what it says. Each advisor is selected by Shook Research. Now, Shook Research and Forbes, they're buddy-buddy. They're like that. I'll continue on. There you see it there. Each advisor selected by Shook Research is chosen based on an algorithm of qualitative and quantitative criteria, including in-person interviews, industry experience, compliance records, revenue produced, and assets under management.
By the way, you notice how they throw that in at the end, not at the, my guess is they simply look at the people with biggest books, because these are people that have huge amount of money that they're responsible to manage. And oftentimes people look at that and say, well, I want to work with them because they're massive. Well, I don't think that says anything really about them, but you could just,
it tells you that they're very successful as salespeople.
Yeah.
And you know, that would be the better list. That would be a more honest title for the list. Here are the 25 best salespeople selling securities in each state.
Yeah, which is no doubt. I mean,
that's basically what their list is.
And the other part is that the account minimums are generally large too. They only take $1 million+,
we can quibble about all kinds of things. The real quibble that I have with almost every one of these lists, even those that include fee-only advisors at times, is that we still have this distinction that there are two kinds of financial advice providers, and the one kind dominates. The commission-based, primarily non-fiduciary advisors dominate these lists because that's what you have been doing and the people you have been working with for so long. It is tough. You know, and plus they're your neighbors, they're your friends, they go to your church, they're in your social groups, they're volunteering in big community events because, hey, it's your money, they can afford to. They can afford to volunteer and still live a very, very, very comfortable life because they're living on your money.
And this is no way to pick an advisor either.
No,
really isn't. Terrible. This is not a way to pick them.
It's terrible, but the problem is picking them is incredibly hard.
It is
the hard. Industry makes it, and by the way, this is in large part the SEC's fault, in part Congress's fault, in part our fault for allowing this to happen, because the industry has such powerful lobbyists that anytime anybody wants to propose a rule that would really require true transparency of fees and commissions and expenses and quality of advice. Every time that happens, the industry slaps it down with tens of millions of dollars lining the proper pockets.
Over and over and over again. And so this is, we, by the way, we have a list on talkingrealmoney.com.
Yeah, and I need advisors. To qualify that list.
Please.
These are advisors that we have looked at.
Yep.
And we believe, based on their ADV Part 2, which these guys apparently never look at, the people at Shook, it's not in their list. They don't look at their ADV Part 2 brochure to determine fee structure, types of investments.
Doesn't matter.
Nope. We look at their ADV Part 2s and read through them and find out that their fees are what we consider to be in the realm of reasonable, that firms that we believe, based on their ADV Part 2, which is a required disclosure, that are true fiduciaries and that tend to follow the same or similar kind of thinking as we do. They base their decisions not on seat of the pants hunches or the latest market, current market research or
prognostication. I was going to get to that. That's a great setup. Thank you for that, because there are other people, next gen investors, that believe finding proper guidance still comes from people like, for example, TD Ameritrade, because there's a woman in a financial publication that says she has an app that's linked to her brokerage account that looks at information from TD, Motley Fool, and this is all part of her do-it-yourself route to wealth building. And so what has she done with the information they provided? Oh, she's invested in Tesla, Microsoft, Costco, and Netflix, and then a couple of index funds as well. But here's the part that's so troubling. Here's a quote from her. "I think it's more personally satisfying to invest your own money and learn a thing or two about doing it solo, as it forces you to keep up with current events." Now, we know the people that keep up with current events end up with less money, because you end up responding to, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with being a do-it-yourselfer.
We're big fans of do-it-yourself.
Yeah, huge. But this is not how to be a do-it-yourselfer. Buying individual stocks, keeping up with current events is the exact wrong way to be a do-it-yourselfer. And we know, just like the people at TD Ameritrade, just like the people at the Motley Fool, they encourage this poor investor behavior. So you should not pay attention to anything from any of those apps, because it'll leave you in the poorhouse.
That's how they generate their revenue, not yours. It's theirs.
Exactly. It's
their revenue. So you're never going to get rich trading. You are, you might make good money working with a broker. You might, but yeah. you could be making better money, because over and over again, almost every bit of research, well, pretty much every bit of research we've ever seen on this topic, points to this simple fact. If you want to know where the best investments lie and the best advice, it's generally where the fees are the lowest.
Yeah. Because even, by the way,
lower end of the spectrum,
even registered investment advisors, because we found one recently that someone had said, "What about these guys?" We looked them up. They're good communicators, good marketers. And they were charging 2.5% on the first 2.5% on the first 1.5 million or 2 million, some ridiculous fee. That is outrageous.
To put that in perspective, we used to charge 0.9%, yeah, and we went all the way up to 0.1%,
yeah, 1%,
or 1%,
yeah, not much,
which is a lot less.
All right.
So don't be careful with these lists.
I agree.
Be careful. Also, be careful with people who are going to send you a list of pre-vetted advisors like Smart Asset, because we found that what they send are not 100% fiduciary advisors. I've tested it multiple times myself. We actually hired them for a little while to see if we got good clients out of it. But no, it's people with the expectation that they're going to get hot stuff.
Yeah. We ended up with one client out of it. It was a very nice person.
Did we finally get one?
We have one client. Don McDonald's experiment results in one client. Well, Thank goodness we're not relying on that for our,
kind of embarrassed now.
The planes and stuff.
Well, I was more embarrassed before when it was zero.
Yeah,
zero
that's true. Do you got time for a couple quick questions here?
I love questions. Are you going to be question boy today?
I'm going to be question guy.
I like calling you question boy.
Yeah, I don't like to be called boy. All right, here, this one comes from Tim.
It makes me feel more powerful than you.
Tim in Seattle writes, "My Microsoft stock." Tim, some would call him the
enchanter?
Tim. Yeah, well, enchantingly poor portfolio. Tim says, "My Microsoft stock makes up 35% of my portfolio. $350,000. What do you think?"
Tim.
He wants to know, what do you think?
Here's what I think. Tim.
What? Yes?
Tim, too much Microsoft. Do you know what the right amount is? About as close to zero as you can get. About as close. If you've got some stock that you have to hold because of restrictions, whatever it might be, okay, that's your Microsoft. Does that mean I think Microsoft is a bad company? No. Ask me how much Tesla you should have in your portfolio. If you don't work for them, zero. How about how much Ford? don't work for them? Zero. Delta
Airlines, not zero, zero, because you own a fund that holds some. Okay. You're saying individually. Stocks. Yeah, right. Okay.
Fair right. Enough. You yeah. don't individual stocks. Yeah. Yes, you'll own them as part of a broad portfolio.
Because you and already own. If you own right. the S&P 500, you've got probably 5% of your portfolio in Microsoft. I bet it's some huge number.
And if you Massive. Work for Microsoft, yep. how much of your financial future is dependent on the financial stability of Microsoft?
And now you want to lump in your retirement on top of that? No, it doesn't make sense. No.
So own none.
Yeah. And if you're in one of those situations where they reward you with that, then I would have a strategy to sell that whenever you can.
Back in the olden days, when I was back in the olden days, very yes. young man, I, through my company, got shares of the company stock. At the time, that company was one of the biggest in the world.
Is this the one where they would send you a kit and you could build your own home?
They did. They had yeah. a catalog, very they famous. Did. I yeah, worked for them did. For quite some time in the yeah. Sears Tower in Chicago, in a yep. store, a service center. And I got a lot of their stock. And if I had done like a lot of people did back then, thank goodness I was young and so hungry I had to sell that stock to just live. If I held it to today, I would have lost almost everything.
Yeah. Sears
Roebuck and Company, or now Kmart Sears or Sears Holdings or whatever the heck it's called now. Right. It's called a bag that Lambert has squeezed dry.
Still has some real estate, I believe, but I don't even know how that's doing. So that's a good lesson, by the way, because you could make the same point with companies more recently like Enron, where people were told GM. Right up to the last day, should we sell our stock? No, do not sell your stock. It will be fine. And it's not so great in bankruptcy. All right. Another question. This one comes from Gregory in beautiful Fruit Heights, Utah.
Oh, up there in the Fruit Heights.
Which I imagine what are they growing in Fruit Heights? What do you think they're growing there? Apples.
Yeah. I think it's apples.
That's probably right. Yeah. He wants to know, here's the question. What do you like more? What do you like more, Don? Pears or apples? No, kidding. What do you like more? Avantis or Dimensional Funds? Both great. Both, you know, what's your take?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think he was hoping for something a little more committal there, but you know, okay.
Yes. I like Dimensional,
yeah,
and I like Avantis.
All right, but let's give a little history here.
And if you look at my portfolio, you'll find something very interesting.
You got to
find both Avantis and Dimensional Funds in my portfolio.
And because I actually Vanguard.
Went through and did a, and Vanguard,
yep.
and iShares, because I went through and did a little research, and I picked, I want bits and pieces that make the most diverse portfolio I can create with oversupply of small cap and value and emergings and things like that. So that's why I have all those bits and pieces and parts.
And you want to do it at a low cost, and you want to do it at tax efficiently.
Yeah, these are all ETFs.
Yep. Yep.
And just to be perfectly honest about it, heck, you know, I wouldn't even mind putting my portfolio. Maybe I should do that someday. Just put it up online. I just recently sold a whole bunch of stuff in July.
A little tax loss harvesting there?
Yeah. I sold everything that had more than a double digit loss. And then I parked it in VT.
And then now you're going to turn around and buy it back.
I'm getting ready to go back into all of them.
Just and now like you're going to have some carry forward losses to go against gains, et cetera. Makes sense.
But
let's give a little history here. I mean, Dimensional Funds has been around, I think, since 1981. They were exclusively mutual funds. They were built on academic work from the University of Chicago, where the founder of Dimensional.
And they were exclusively institutional.
David Booth, who's given $300 million, is now the Booth School at the University of Chicago. So they have a long and storied history of bringing institutional share class funds to the public only through an advisor. So there was only an advisor channel, if you will, and to private companies. On the other hand, Avantis was a spinoff, and I think in the last 5 years recently, of Dimensional Funds and exclusively in exchange traded funds, because they're like, well, wait, exchange traded funds are more tax efficient than mutual funds because the way
they're less expensive to operate.
Yeah, they're less expensive to operate. So Dimensional had sort of been dragging their feet on getting into exchange traded funds. And so Avanta saw an opportunity and they took it. Now they're still relatively small. They are, I think you pointed this out once, Don, a tad more aggressive, I think, in terms of the fund operation than what you would get at Dimensional.
Well, when I look at their portfolios, for example, on a small cap value fund, they skew a little bit more toward the value side and the smaller company stocks. They're a little smaller and a little more value-y.
Yeah, I think that's
not
fair.
Not a real word, I don't think.
Value-y. So, value-ish. We really would have a hard time discriminating again between the two. And then, of course, we use Vanguard because they provide pure index funds in certain share class or certain asset classes. We think it makes sense to just own an index, especially on the fixed income side. So these are all very fine fund families. And as Don pointed out, maybe one day we will put our portfolio up there. I mean, we give you free portfolios at Fidelity, at Vanguard, at Schwab that are good. Not great because we think it's great to use some of these other fund families that add a little bit.
And remember, my portfolio is right for me.
Yeah, exactly.
It is not necessarily right. In fact, it isn't right for you because you and I don't think the same way. And it's more about how we think and emote and feel and react than it is on what is right or wrong. As long as we get the basic construct down, we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. And I want to mention one other thing before we go here. And that is we want to help you get educated about all this. That's why we do the podcast. Yes. That's why we do Retire Meet. And now, ladies and gentlemen, because the world is returning, I guess, we are doing more classes again. So we've got two coming up. September 10th, Thriving After Divorce. I wish I took this one, but I didn't. This is Saturday, September 10th. This is part of our women's initiative. And you can go online to Talking Real Money classes, click there, and you can register. That's an only online event. Then on Saturday, September 17th, I am doing Retiring in a Recession, which I guess I've been urged to do, not retire, but do the class. That is in person.
Are you sure that's all you've been encouraged to do?
I'm listening to the ground closely. Okay. That's coming up in person in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, but also online. I have way more people that have signed up for it online. And I think there's some nominal charge if you come to the Bellevue things. You get a copy of Paul Merriman's book, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's Saturday morning, 9 a.m., the 17th. Love to see you there.
9 a.m.
Pacific time. Thank you. Thank you. Because I'll do that. I'll race back here, do the show with Don at that point. So those are coming up. Take advantage of them. They're great opportunities to learn. We go through portfolio development, withdrawals, everything.
At Talking Real Money or Investor?
TalkingRealMoney.com and you click on classes. I believe
really?
They're there.
Is it on Talking Real Money?
You better look, but I think they all are.
I don't know.
Something because you should know, but you don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Speaking of having your ear to the ground to see what's next, might be something. It's still a website, I believe you could check.
The one from the 10th is not there.
All right.
Investory.com.
Okay, but the one for the 17th is
there. Yeah, that is there. Yeah. But no, the other one must just be at Vestory.com.
All right.
V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Take advantage. Use them. Use us. Get educated. Get smart. Yeah.
Oh, you have Kevin with you.
Yeah. Kevin Peterson will be there.
I like
Kevin. He's outstanding. Talking about Medicare.
He knows what more about Medicare. He has been my go-to resource for Medicare help. Holy cow. He's been so good.
He is phenomenal. And for those of you who want more personal help, you can simply go to the contact us form and we'll be glad to.
Or go to Vestry.com and set up an appointment.
Yeah. Either way.
Do that.
Yep.
You get a free appointment. Free advice and no high pressure sales pitch.
And I'm still taking my Saturday morning appointments. I have one this Saturday. So happy to do them. I love them. I'm working anyway.
People
don't believe it either.
They don't believe it.
There's a gimmick. No, there's no gimmick.
I can talk to Tom about my portfolio offline for free. See, I wouldn't do that because I'm not as nice.
That's not true. It's just not the part of the work that you do. That's all.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. All right.
I'm here. I want to help. So
thanks. Here, let's remove these again because it's glary. Thank you all for being there. Please, 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 if you get a chance, tell a friend or two or 1,000 to watch the video casts on YouTube, to listen to the podcasts on every podcast service out there, to share it via social media, and if you like what you hear, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or give us a star thing on
Only if Spotify. It's a good one. Don't label us politically and say we're bad people.
I know. I hate that. Well, we get like 2 stars from somebody going, You guys are 2 flaming libs.
Okay. By the way, my flaming lib brother who's visiting right now saw that and just laughed. He's like, they're saying that about you.
You are not. You are as far
I'm a
from
lot
a
of
fl-
things.
You but- are so far. I am so middle of the road.
Me too.
I'm more middle of the road than
that's
you are.
True.
You're slightly
that's
right
true.
Of center. I may be on a couple of things slightly left
that's
of center,
true.
But I have generally been, in fact, I'm a big believer in the middle truth party. I'm a
someday,
huge
by the way, that will come back, but it's just not.
Do you
this
think
day.
So? Do
not
you?
In our lifetime, but I don't know.
Yeah,
someday.
Do you? I mean, I wish it would. I'm so big. I'm,
Common I'm, sense. Let's try that for a change. What do you think?
I'm so. In fact, yeah. I read a book recently. I'm gonna digress again. What's his name? Henry Clay. You ever heard of Henry Clay?
Yes, the way he was great orator.
Yeah. You've studied history.
Of
but
course.
The rest of you,
great
I bet
19th
many of you
century
have no
politician.
Idea.
Oh, come on.
He
great
was a
American.
Senator from Kentucky.
Yeah, of course.
He was the man behind so many compromises that delayed the Civil War for decades.
Mm-hmm.
He delayed the Civil War for decades. I mean, eventually it had to happen. Even he said it has to happen.
Clean
but I
up.
Love this quote, and I am going to live by this quote. I just
Ladies
found
and gentlemen,
it in the past few months.
Stand by. Play attention, please.
From
Listen.
A book called Heirs of the Founders by H.W. Brands. Let's quote. Listen to this quote, people. Come on, please. This is from an old guy, dead guy. Extremes, fellow citizens, are ever wrong. Truth and justice, sound policy and wisdom always abide in the middle ground.
Where at our advancing age will be soon? Is that what the middle ground is? Just checking.
6 feet under, that's the high end of the middle. I mean, you know, if we were a couple miles deep, we would be middle.
I hope to see that in my lifetime, but we'll see. My hope, but
yeah. In fact, I think he was called, wasn't he called the Great Compromiser?
I believe he was, sir.
I believe that was his nickname. Yeah. All right. Hey, everybody. And that is about as political as we get. Okay,
exactly.
We do occasionally make fun of political things that impact money.
It's for fun.
But it's for fun.
Stop
and
it.
I know some of you can't take jokes about people you like.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, grow up and
Thank
get
you.
Over it.
Yeah.
And you know what? You can make fun of people I like. I'll make fun of people you like. That's America.
We make fun of each other. Come on, get over it.
I make
you?
Fun of Tom, and he's one of the people I like the best. Imagine.
Exactly so.
Imagine how much fun I make of people I don't like.
That's a whole other podcast.
We got to go. We just
time's up, man.
We're over 30 minutes, and the whole thing just falls apart about this juncture, doesn't it?
It does. Rightfully so.
You could have left a long time ago and probably been better
I'm
going to
leave now before anything you say can be associated with me. That's all I know.
Anything I say can and be and can and will be used against you, Tom.
Just what I didn't want to hear.
You.
Oh,
I don't know what
you.
Side of the screen you're on, or even if this will work.
Up or down
because
or
Zencaster
right.
Zencaster messed with their system, and I hope it works, Zencaster.
Me too.
Oh, all right.
Thank you all
Thank
for
you
joining
all.
Us.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Take good care of yourselves. I'm Don. Tom's
See
over
ya.
There. We'll Bye. Go read a book now so that we can talk real money.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.